Well, thanks. My talk today is going to focus on management of weeds in East Coast broccoli production, specifically South Carolina, highlighting some field trials I've performed in the past year with my Clemson and USDA colleagues. So I'm the vegetable weed scientist at the Charleston Clemson Research Center, about 3.5 hours from main campus. You may have seen some previous presentations at this conference and some posters. There's an SCRI proposal or SCRI grant that's incentivizing research to improve or to develop an East Coast broccoli industry. And a couple of the co-authors on this presentation are involved with that. At least from a weed science perspective, it's going to be much more difficult to control weeds in the East Coast relative to the West Coast due to one of the big environmental parameters would be annual rainfall. You look here where Salinas, California, Yuma, Arizona, where a majority of the broccoli is grown in the U.S., and you have 16 and 3 inches of annual rainfall respectively. Charleston, South Carolina, 51 inches per year. So what's that mean? You're going to have more intense weed infestation at transplanting and then a longer duration of weed pressure throughout the season. And due to this high moisture, high rainfall, there's some key driver weed species in at least in the fall season for South Carolina broccoli production, and those are yellow and purple nutsedge. In organic production, yellow and from a worldwide perspective, purple nutsedge is probably the number one ranked weed as in terms of its devastation economically. Yellow nutsedge is number three. It can puncture through plastic, so if you have an organic system and you're using plastic, it'll go right through the plastic. One yellow nutsedge plant can produce almost 2,400 shoots and 1,800 tubers, so you really have to practice good sanitation and try and eliminate it from your field. So the four herbicides that I'm going to talk about today, going from here and I guess counterclockwise, is oxyfluorophen. These are herbicide use maps. It's used a lot in the Central Valley in California in almond production. When I was working with this molecule in that system, it really we noticed a little bit of a negative trend regarding weed control in scenarios where you had high traffic. So one of the treatments I'm looking at today is cultivation, interaction with cultivation and oxyfluorophen. So that's really bad traffic if you think about it, just cultivation. So I'm interested to see how that performs regarding weed control. It's pretty good on a lot of most broadleaf weeds. It's not good on coniza species such as hairy fleabane horseweed. Then you look at the next molecule, S-metolachlor. You have a lot of use. It's corn, cotton, soybean herbicide, so a lot of use in the Midwest and Delta, but it's used a lot in vegetables as well. It's pretty good on – it's the only herbicide that's registered in commercial broccoli. It's supposed to have some suppression on nutsedge. And then nipropamide or Devernol has pretty good grass control. Its high use rate in North Carolina is due to its use in sweet potato. And then the experimental compound, or it's a commercial compound in soybean, but it's not registered yet in broccoli. Wanted to look at this because it's it has the same mode of action as S-metolachlor, a very long-chain fatty acid inhibitor, but has more comprehensive target site coverage. It binds to 7 elongase enzymes versus 3. So it would be interesting if we get that registered in broccoli. So the objectives for the trial were to, one, determine the best commercially available herbicide program in a scenario with and without cultivation and take a look at the impact of these treatments on weed control, yield, crop safety, crop quality, for the sake of brevity, I'm going to go over crop quantity, some yield traits, but not really the crop quality. And then look at trying to determine if there's a significant interaction between herbicide application and cultivation. And then objective three, determine if pyroxysulfone is safe in broccoli. So this is a drone shot of the field experiment. You have, there were three reps with each. There was an Emerald Crown variety and a Lieutenant variety of broccoli in each plot. You have that, I don't know if you can see that yellowish-green buffer there, that's the weeds. And then between each row, we had a collards to kind of separate the plots a little bit, and the collards received a maintenance Devernol treatment to keep the weeds somewhat manageable. And then this cultivation by this treatment here got hand weeded as well, so cultivation without herbicide. So this is percent nutsedge control in the fall trial, 7 days after treatment. It's from my extension presentation, so I have these stoplight charts where green's good control, yellow's marginal, red's bad. I was surprised we got this much suppression or control 7 days after treatment. It didn't last. Two weeks later, all the nuts had really grew through the every treatment except esmetoclax, and 3 weeks later, esmetoclax, you know, its control failed as well. It's just the difficulty we have with controlling weeds in South Carolina, rainfall, heat. But what stopped the nuts edge in this trial, we had a cold snap. So even though it was the fall season where we have warmer conditions, more aggressive weed growth during transplanting, nuts edge infestation slowed down. This is 18 days after treatment, three days before cultivation. And you can see esmetoclax really performed the best across all weed species. So for broadleaf weed control, oxyfluorophen seemed like it performed the best. Niprimamide, surprised it got this much carpet weed control, but we did. It's a pretty good grass material, so it's not surprising it got high yellow foxtail control. This is an overhead shot with the drone 5 weeks after transplanting, 2 weeks after cultivation. You can see the untreated plot here. Can you see all the yellowish vegetation in there? So that's mostly nuts edge, some purslane, yellow foxtail. Look at this plot. This is cultivation plus niprimamide. So 2 weeks after, it's relatively clean. And then this one is oxyfluorophen without cultivation. You see that portion? So 5 weeks after transplanting, it was pretty clean even without cultivation with oxyfluorophen. So weed control 8 weeks after planting. There's something that's, you know, obviously cultivation is significant. So even with oxyfluorophen, a few weeks later we lost control without cultivation, and the only treatments which provided acceptable weed control in the study were oxyfluorophen and esmetoclax with cultivation. Obviously hand weeded checks me 100. So looking at some yield ratings from the fall trial, you have mean stem diameter. And what was significant, herbicide really wasn't significant, but there was a significant impact of cultivation on mean stem diameter. Emerald crown, and also cultivar was significant. Emerald crown was generally a little bit larger, seems like the best treatment was hand weeding with cultivation. You know, significantly greater stem diameter relative to emerald crown. Similar trend was observed with lieutenant. Going to the spring trial, so the fall trial was transplanted in September. The spring trial was transplanted at the end of February. We didn't see any injury from the herbicides in the fall trial. In the spring trial, we did notice there was some significant studying with niprimamide and emerald crown and lieutenant, and then with emerald crown, we did some pretty noticeable stunting with pyroxysulfone. I think it's a function of the soil temperature being colder in the spring trial. They're all involved. You know, the interaction with the herbicide, cold soil caused some injury with niprimamide. Also, this is you can apply niprimamide after transplanting with cultivation, just for the purpose of keeping all these chemistries applied in the same scenario. It was applied pre-transplanting, but you can apply niprimamide over the top after transplanting in broccoli. And then here's a picture. This is the control plot, and then you can see the Devernal or niprimamide plot right here. And then is that stunting noticeable? A little bit. So niprimamide. These are the two different Emerald Crown and Lieutenant. And then that's a control plot. So looking at weed counts 53 days after transplanting in the spring trial, you can see that really cultivation was necessary to really get rid of the swine crest. Swine crest is difficult to control in broccoli because it's a brassica. You're trying to get a brassica out of a brassica, and it's going to be germinating in the beginning of the trial, not so much close to the end after cultivation. So you saw improved swine crest control with cultivation. You didn't necessarily see that with crabgrass, and this is where I was worried about with the oxyfluorophen. You have that herbicide layer, it's disturbed after cultivation, and then the weeds that are germinating later in the spring are going to come up through the layer. So you did see a negative impact of cultivation with crabgrass control for oxyfluorophen. But looking at the yield ratings, it really was necessary to cultivate. There wasn't any significant interaction or effect of herbicide or cultivation on emerald crown mean head weight. But you look at lieutenant, There was a significant effect of cultivation, and especially with Devranol or Nipurbamide is where you really saw the significant difference. Lieutenant, only 169 gram head weight without cultivation. With cultivation, increased to 191. And when you averaged across all herbicide treatments, there's a significant 2 minutes. Okay, yeah, finished. There's a significant effect of cultivation on mean head weight. So just to summarize my objectives, what's the best herbicide program? Probably oxyfluorophen plus cultivation. But there was if you saw Dr. Ward or Dr. Farnham's presentation yesterday, there was a lot of quality ratings. That, for sake of brevity, not including all of them or any of them on this presentation, but for the most part, there wasn't a significant effect on herbicide or cultivation on any of the quality ratings. But for quantity, weed control, and crop safety, oxyfluorophen plus cultivation was the best treatment. Interestingly, there was an interaction with herbicides and cultivation on mean head weight, and this is so the chlorosetamides seem to decrease with cultivation. So chlorosetamide are very long chain fatty acid inhibitors, are S-metolachlor and pyroxysulfone. Nipropamide and oxyfluorophen increased with cultivation. So I'm not really sure the mechanism why that is. I think the S-metolachlor translocates a little more than the other. None of them really translocate much, but S-metolachlor a little more than the other herbicides. Is pyroxysulfone safe in broccoli? It appeared safer than the nipropamide in the spring. From one trial, you really can't make a decision, and needs to be more testing either with IR4 or collaboration with BASF. But it's I'd like to thank Dr. Farnham, Dr. Ward's group, and my technicians and grad students.
Thank you.
Yeah. For some other studies we have, that wasn't something we're looking at. We're just trying to maintain it, and I don't think that'd be in a big commercial production. Be a op. Yep. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, well, Dr. Ward, he's at the same research station I am. He did the study of double cropping on plastic up in, more towards the upstate. And, yeah, I think that's a good technique. As I said, the nuts edge can still puncture through that plastic. If you do double plastic, it seems to, at least the nuts edge where we work with, the yellow nuts edge doesn't puncture through it. Sometimes the purple could, but, yeah. Yes, sir? Oh, with the row middle, like a hooded sprayer, post-direct? Certainly with it's not going to get the stuff right next to the broccoli, but, yeah, in the row middles, that's certainly an option.
Yeah, last question.
I think you're fertigating these for the season,
right? Yeah, they're fertigated, yep, same.
And a lot, so presumably the weeds are growing a lot better
in the row. In the row, yep, so that's where the problem is. So we didn't see really an effect on a lot of the yield parameters with the untreated shed. Like, it was non-significant for head weight, quality. The fall season's where I worried a little bit more about weed pressure, because the weeds are growing better in the fall when the drop broccoli plants are being transplanted. But we had a little bit of a cold snap, and that kind of stopped the nuts edge. I know, certainly looking at the literature, there is an impact on from plants such as, I think it was for one, you had a 20% reduction in yield when you had one common lamb's quarter plant per 10 square foot. So there is studies out there showing that they impact yield. There is a critical period in shading, but it's just in either of these trials, there really wasn't, for most of the variables, a significant effect of weeds on yield ratings.
Okay, let's take another one.